The Best of Our Knowledge explores topics on learning, education, and research. Coming up, the College of St. Rose, a private four-year institution in Albany, New York, will close at the end of the spring semester. We'll hear from students and faculty who are facing important decisions on their education and future employment. And we'll speak with the mayor of Albany about how the college's closure will impact the city. I'm Lucas Willard, host of The Best of Our Knowledge. This is The Best of Our Knowledge. I'm Lucas Willard. Students at the College of St. Rose in Albany, New York, are grappling with the 104-year-old private institution's upcoming closure in June. The Best of Our Knowledge's Alexander Babby spoke with students who are facing some tough decisions in the final weeks of their enrollment.
The decision to close the college by the institution's Board of Trustees was announced in December. St. Rose says it has struggled to stay afloat, faced with declining enrollment worsened by the COVID-19 pandemic. The closure comes after the private college shed several academic programs in a cost-cutting move in 2020, but it wasn't enough. According to the institution's website, St. Rose's financial gap totaled over $11 million by the end of 2023. Molly Foote is a first-year education major. She doesn't understand why she was admitted if the college was struggling. Now she's deciding where she'll go next.
They've shared, information, the college is closing, we're doing teach-out plans, but I feel like they could have given us the news sooner, or at least given us, more time to prepare.
Asia Ray Rivera is a freshman business administration major and is frustrated with the way the school communicated about its financial situation.
I felt like, okay, so you guys welcomed me into this school, you gave me a scholarship, you promised me all this in my financial aid, and we're broke.
Rivera says she found out about the closure on social media.
They decided that they wanted to deny it, and then the way that they tried to throw it under the rug.
She says the news dropping during fall finals week compounded her stress and made her feel betrayed.
We're still here. They have one more semester, but they said that they've been in a decline for years now.
St. Rose President Marshall White held a campus meeting after news of the closure broke a day earlier. White, who has not responded to interview requests since the closure, targeted the media, saying students should have found out from the college, not the press. Here's White speaking with reporters immediately following that campus meeting.
I am so angry at the fact that our students, our faculty, our employees, the parents of our students, had to hear this news in the press rather than from us today, which is the time we had put aside to do a personal message to them and have a conversation. That's the way we do it at St. Rose.
White said she had hoped to save the college. One idea was to merge St. Rose into another institution, but those plans did not come to fruition. White pledged to develop teach-out plans with other colleges, and agreements were developed with more than a dozen other institutions. As for financial aid, the college says students can either contact their new school or work out a plan with St. Rose. Now it's up to the students to decide where and how they will complete their programs, and for some, it won't be their first time transferring. Justin Morehouse, a psychology major, transferred from Hudson Valley Community College in nearby Troy. Morehouse says he found out the college was closing after it was too late to adjust his plans. As the end of the spring semester nears, Morehouse says it's been difficult to balance his studies and his academic future.
It's been a struggle, doing school and work and trying to find, get all the stuff done, FAFSA and getting accepted into other schools. So that's where I'm at.
Morehouse is planning on continuing his studies at the University at Albany, but he's worried about all of his credits transferring.
You find out that not everyone accepts credits from certain other schools, so having transfer credits from two different colleges makes it even more difficult, and I'll probably have to do more school because of it.
Genevieve Lebedo, who is studying education, transferred from Siena, another private college in neighboring Loudonville. Faced with another move, Lebedo says she wants to transfer to SUNY Cortland, nearly 3 hours away and not a St. Rose teach-out partner. Lebedo feels the college is trying to pressure students into attending one of the teach-out schools.
I definitely think that they're
trying to have as much control over the situation as possible and kind of keeping their students in the dark as far as their options.
Dr. Barbara Chapaitis is an adjunct professor who has taught public speaking at St. Rose for 9 years. She says she's taking complaints as high as she can, including to the New York State Attorney General.
I have been in contact with the AG's office, sent them some of the students' concerns and aggravation and their what they're enraged about.
Like many students, Chapaitis feels the college deceived her about its financial health. She says St. Rose hasn't explained what will happen to its $44 million endowment after the closure.
Our students don't know what's going to happen to their tuition when the school closes. Why should they give tuition to a school that's not going to serve them? Why shouldn't they get their student loans forgiven?
St. Rose says it has made its human resources department available to, quote, assist faculty, administrators, and staff with their career transition, end quote. SEIU Local 200 represents more than 150 adjunct faculty at St. Rose. Union Rep Sean Collins says the college is not committing to providing severance pay or benefits for employees losing their jobs.
They've largely shot down the concept of severance, not just for our members, but also for all faculty and staff at the college. And said that, you know, basically have raised, you know, that there's no money to pay such severance.
Collins says President White has refused to meet with the union.
We meet with the head of HR and a dean from Academic Affairs, one of the school deans. And they're the ones who are conveying that the college has no intention to pay severance to us or any other faculty or staff member. You know, so we haven't heard that directly from Marsha.
Collins says the union will keep pushing for full severance for all faculty and staff. After the campus closes its doors, St. Rose says it plans to maintain buildings until at least the end of the year. St. Rose Board of Trustees Chair Jeffrey Stone says decisions on what to do with the dozens of buildings throughout Albany's Pine Hills neighborhood have not yet been made. With about $50 million owed in bondholder debt, Stone says the college has hired a real estate advisor. Stone says there are a variety of potential reuses for the campus.
We expect the property to be marketed to educational institutions, local and national developers, senior living operators, nonprofit and government agencies, religious organizations, and the like. Right now, the sale of the campus as a whole is preferred.
St. Rose's final commencement ceremony is May 11th, with the end of the summer session on June 21st. An honoring St. Rose Day is scheduled for May 18th, offering students, faculty, and alumni the chance to say goodbye. For the best of our knowledge, I'm Alexander Babby in Albany.
Working to give a voice to those grieving the sudden loss of the College of St. Rose is Jamie Iglehart, a film studies and media arts professor at the college. Iglehart is currently crafting a feature-length documentary film entitled Goodbye, Dear Neighbor, with a name to capture St. Rose's final semester as told by the students, faculty, staff, and larger community as they say goodbye. Recently, Iglehart debuted a preview of the documentary at the Albany Film Festival, hosted by the New York State Writers Institute. Production crew members Ethan Klinke and Kyla Newberry, both of whom are graduating seniors at St. Rose, joined Iglehart for an interview with the best of our knowledge's Jody Cowan.
Shooting all the time, trying to capture everything has been a really great distraction. And when I stopped shooting for spring break, I kind of like fell into a depression. So that picking up shooting again, I think, has been a really good way to process and move through a sad thing that we're all going through. And so hopefully it'll be a processing for everyone who's participating and sharing their story.
Was it difficult at all to separate your personal experience of St. Rose closing, your place of regular employment, from the narrative of the movie that you're trying to make?
Well, it comes down to like the style of documentary that you're making, which we learned about in our documentary class. And so there's many different approaches. You know, you could make a reflexive film like Michael Moore, where you're in the film that you're creating. But I think the style of documentary that appeals to me the most is observational, to kind of immerse yourself in the experience. So, and that's a conversation that Ethan and I also had, and I had with other students too.
With such a large group of people, students, staff, faculty at St. Rose, all experiencing this imminent shutdown, who ultimately is telling this story?
I think that it's going to come together in the editing room. I think that you have to kind of be ahead of things and you have to follow the stories as they happen. So I would say, like, reality is telling the story and we're just trying to keep up with it.
Ethan, as editor of the film, how has your process taken shape?
Well, you know, what happens is I'm given footage by Professor Ligerhart and the wonderful cinematographers that we have, and there's some really great footage, and it's almost a challenge to not chop it up too much because there's so much good content in there, and, you know, I think a lot of it speaks for itself. So really, I'm just kind of trying to amplify the voice of what's being said in it, and it's been a very creatively challenging but really satisfying process, and I wouldn't want to be doing with anyone else, and it's been a great experience.
Is there an overall statement that you're looking to make with the film or that you're working toward in the editing room?
I think the consensus we've reached is we don't want it to be just angry and frustration and sadness for the sake of it. There's just so much of that right now. I mean, I feel like it's harder just to tell the truth, which is kind of what we want to do. And it's easy to be mad and upset and point fingers and do accomplish nothing in doing that. So I think we really just want this to be a piece that speaks for the students and everyone who's really affected by it.
Part of the intention behind the film is to witness what happens. You know, how does a school come apart? It's a social fabric, right? How does a social fabric unravel? And what are the effects of that? I think this is a very, a situation that needs to be documented so that people can understand what happens when you pull the plug on a gigantic institution that affects thousands of people.
As far as the head offices are concerned, has there been any support or pushback? What has been the administration's response to the filmmaking thus far?
Yeah, I want to say that while there's been a lot of anger on campus towards the administration, I have found the administration to be very supportive. And I think that is wonderful. I think that they're giving us the space to tell our story and have been supporting us in every way that I could have asked. I don't want to gloss over the impact that this closure is having on people. 638 people are losing their jobs. The school has not been able to provide at this point severance pay or health care, although I know they're working on it. So there is quite a real toll that this closure is taking, not just within the immediate faculty and staff who are being dismissed, but also in the local businesses. 80% of the income for the local businesses in Pine Hills comes from St. Rose. St. Rose brings $45 million into the local economy every year. So the impact will be huge, and this is not to be glossed over in any way.
Kyla, you've been working on recording sound for this documentary. Will we hear from the neighborhood community surrounding St. Rose campus at all?
One of the first things that I did when I started the project is we did interview the president of the Pine Hills Neighborhood Association. We've gone to, I think, 2 or 3 of their meetings. So even here today, I was pointing out people who had been there just because I'd started to recognize them and they recognized me. So we are focusing on the impact that it has on the community. That is one of the things that people bring up the most when I talk about the school closure after students and faculty is local businesses shutting down, which we already are seeing with like the local movie theaters that are shutting down. There's a lot of restaurants that are closing, a lot of restaurants that are realizing they're going to have to shift their business models once the students are gone. So it is going to be a very important thing to focus on as well once the school shuts down is what happens to the community, what happens to the buildings, but also what happens to the local businesses that do rely on the money that the students do bring in.
During the panel discussion earlier, it was mentioned that audience-wise, you're looking to reach Gen Z and those looking ahead to their potential future in college. Would you consider this film a cautionary tale?
I wouldn't say it's a cautionary tale. I think that even though it's a tale about grief, I think the important thing to focus on is that grief doesn't come from apathy. Grief comes from connection and caring. And I think it really shows just how much people do care about the colleges they go to. And in my experience, that's what we're focusing on, is we're focusing on the care people have. We're focusing on the experiences that they gain, the relationships that they make while they're at college, and why that then becomes so hard to let go of and why it becomes so difficult, even though college always ends. College always does come to a close. Why is it so different when it is permanent versus when you can return, when you still have the support of the staff that work there? That's why we're focusing on the college as a whole, not just on the closure, because I'm still glad I came to St. Rose, despite the fact that it's ending early and despite the fact that I have to overload credits to graduate. I'm still glad I came here because of the experiences I had and the friends that I made, and I wouldn't have done that had I gone to another school. So despite the grief that I have to go through now, it doesn't outweigh all of the good things that came from this.
Kyla, you and Ethan are graduating this year. Does your role in the film end when this last semester does?
My role does not. I did agree to stay on towards the post-production process just because this is something that I am passionate about, because this is my lived experience and it's something that I want to see finished. I don't want to see something that fizzles out when the semester is finished. So I think that is the most important thing to me, is seeing this finished, especially since we have put so much time and effort into it over this past semester. I'm not going to be done when I graduate. I'm going to make sure I stay on and help this finish.
Finally here, with this school's closure, do you think any of you will be able to find closure, or is there more to process here, more of this story to be told?
I really don't see this as having a really final ending. I don't think that there's ever going to be a fully cut and dry answer about what happened. I don't think there's ever going to be a truly what went wrong, when exactly it went wrong. And I think that's what people are expecting as a final ending for our story, for our documentary. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the documentary is very much mimicking life. It's mimicking reality, and we don't get cut and dry endings, unfortunately. As nice as it would be to be able to say, that's it, hands are clean, we're done, we're not going to get that. And I don't envision us having that in the documentary or having it in real life. I think the best closure we can get is ending this year as best we can, graduating, trying to maintain our friendships as best as we can, moving into professional life as best we can, and being okay with that lack of finality and learning to be okay with that lack of closure, I think, is the best we're going to get.
Yeah, I think for me personally, closure, much like the grief that we're experiencing, comes through processing. And hopefully this film can be a part of that processing. But I don't think that we'll find closure until we have a broader conversation as a nation about the value of higher education in this country and supporting schools. So many countries around the world have free education. Why don't we have free education? How can we make it possible for this generation and future generations to get an education and not have to go into debt to do it? So for me, that's where closure will come, is in having broader conversations. I know it's very highfalutin and all that, but I think that's what needs to happen personally.
That's the College of St. Rose faculty member and filmmaker Jamie Iglehart, and production crew members and graduating seniors Ethan Klinke and Kyla Newberry. The in-production documentary film on the institution's closure is called Goodbye, Dear Neighbor. They spoke with the best of our knowledge's Jody Cowan. This is the Best of Our Knowledge. I'm Lucas Willard. There are a lot of unknowns about what will happen next to the St. Rose campus and the surrounding Pine Hills neighborhood. St. Rose President Marcia White has said as long as the college is in ownership of the campus, it will maintain buildings and its commitment to the Albany community. The college owns more than 90 structures in the city. For another view of how the city is grappling with the campus closure, I spoke with Albany Mayor Kathy Sheehan.
We knew that, like other small colleges, St. Rose was struggling, but I did not, and nor did my fellow elected officials, realize that it was to the point where they were going to make the decision to close. We certainly thought there was going to be a much longer runway and an opportunity to work to keep the college open and to find alternatives. But for it to come up against, you know, it was Thanksgiving week, to be told we're going to have to announce that we're going to close in a matter of days unless we can get $25 million. And that really, I think, is one of the reasons that you see students upset, faculty upset, and it's a lot for people to take in. It was a shock for so many people. And again, so many alumni here in Albany and in the Capital Region, and the students and the faculty and the staff are all hurting because of that.
I think it's also important to sort of point out, for someone who's not familiar with the city of Albany or the College of St. Rose, it's a little unique. It's not a campus on an island surrounded by a ring road. It's right in the middle of a residential neighborhood. And there are a lot of smaller buildings, several dozen small buildings that make up the campus itself. So that's going to be felt, certainly, just in the neighborhood and the neighbors alone.
Well, and many of those buildings were acquired in the recent past by the college in order to create a cohesive campus that took up the blocks that are currently occupied by the college. And so I think that that also, though, presents an opportunity because there are a number of buildings that could easily transition back to residential opportunities for homeownership, affordable homeownership. There have been lots of ideas that have been talked about. My response to that, though, is that the bondholders are going to make a determination. The campus, many of the buildings on the campus are subject to bonds that were issued by the college. Roughly $48 million is owed. And so those bondholders have the right to make the determination and so of what is going to happen with those buildings and how they're going to pursue it. That said, the administration and the board at the College of St. Rose certainly want what is best for the city of Albany and the community. They want the campus ideally to be sold as one and redeveloped in a way that is that is focused on being a good neighbor and remaining contextualized in that neighborhood.
Have you had any conversations with other mayors or leaders of other municipalities who have also gone through this same situation in recent years? I'm thinking of Kaz College over in Cazenovia, a couple hours away from here, where the small campus was reutilized as a temporary state police training facility. There's still schooling going on there. It's a different kind of school. But, you know, what are your conversations like with other leaders?
Well, I've spoken with a number of other leaders. There's a campus that was shut down in New Mexico, for example. I think it's in Santa Fe. But, you know, they are in the process that the city actually ended up owning that campus, and they're in the process of redeveloping it and trying to do so, again, in a way that doesn't negatively impact the surrounding neighborhoods. And so there are others out there. And again, with there's an acceleration, I think, that we're seeing in a number of these smaller private colleges closing. And so every municipality is unique. I think, you know, you pointed it out. This is for people to come here and see how integrated that campus is in a neighborhood is somewhat unique. And so I think that creates opportunity, but it also creates some challenges. And we're going to have to be really intentional about how it gets redeveloped. And I hope that the bondholders really recognize that it's not just selling it to the highest bidder. There are limitations about from our zoning for what it can be reused for. If the bondholders take ownership of it, it becomes taxable. So, you know, there are a number of considerations as the school is thinking about closing down. And certainly they're trying to get to the end of the school year, a graduation. It should be a happy occasion for those seniors that are graduating. And so understandably, the college is also focused on ensuring that that experience for them is a good one.
Do you want to see another college take its place?
Well, I mean, certainly it was purpose-built as a college.
Sure,
so
yeah.
It's hard to imagine it being something else. But you look at what is happening at RPI, at UAlbany, the quantum computer at RPI, the focus on AI and the $1 billion that's going to be invested at UAlbany.
And the collaboration between the two schools, which is a public and a private institution.
Absolutely. And both of those institutions, though, have significant space limitations. And so when you think about the small companies and even larger companies that want to have proximity to those two institutions, the campus creates some, I think, attractive opportunities to do that. I also think, you know, there is a huge need for residential in the city of Albany and to continue to expand our ability for folks who are coming here to work at whether it's the nanotech or, you know, at the port and all of the incredible growth that's happening here in the Capital Region. We have a need for residential. And so I think that there is an opportunity there. again, I don't want to get out ahead of the bondholders. I don't want to get out ahead of the community. This needs to be a community conversation. And I think there have been a lot of very interesting ideas. There's need for space for, education at the high school level. So lots of interest and, but also a lot of questions. As you know, Turo is in conversations. That's been reported.
That's a private college.
Turo, right. Yeah. A private college. And I did reach out to one of their provosts to say, if there's anything that you need from the city, I don't know how realistic that potential reuse is. I don't think it would be of the whole campus, but certainly to be able to continue higher education there would be ideal. And I just wanted to make it known to them that, if they have questions, if we can be of assistance, that we want to do all that we can to help.
And, just coming from your perspective as mayor, the conversations, the community conversations, certainly are not going to stop in June when St. Rose closes down. Are you planning on continuing to hear and get input from residents and former students and former faculty well into the remainder of 2024 and beyond?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the college has committed to maintaining the campus through the end of the calendar year. So even after the classes are no longer occurring and they've closed down academically. And it is a difficult position for a mayor to be in, because I can't hold a public meeting to say, what do we want to do with the College of St. Rose? Because we don't control it. And oftentimes that can be then perceived and experienced by the community as a broken promise, right? You brought us in and you wanted all of our ideas, but you have no way of then taking those ideas and actually implementing them. So I think we have to have an understanding of what the bondholders are going to do, what the interest is with respect to acquiring the campus, and hopefully be able to partner alongside the future owner to then create the opportunity for that public input and for the community to understand and hopefully have a say in the future of the campus.
Kathy Sheehan is the mayor of Albany, New York. This is The Best of Our Knowledge. If you'd like to tell The Best of Our Knowledge what you think, send us an email at knowledge@wamc.org. You can listen to The Best of Our Knowledge anytime as a podcast, downloadable wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to catch up on past episodes or hear more WAMC National Productions programs on the news, academic study, books, women's issues, the media, and the environment, visit WAMCpodcasts.org. This has been The Best of Our Knowledge, episode 1753. The Best of Our Knowledge is a national production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. Thanks to associate producer Jody Cowan, the latest on all national productions programs is available via the Airwaves newsletter and our flagship station's website, WAMC.org. Until next time, I'm Lucas Willard.